Line Extra, your weekly Galway GAA podcast with Ollie Turner and Sean Walsh in association with Seymour's Loughrea.
Welcome on in to our Over the Line weekly podcast with Ollie Turner and Sean Walsh. And hot off the press, we've got the All-Star Football nominations and the selection of the team. So we've got five, Sean, this morning. Were you happy enough with that?
Yeah, I think that's decent. I mean, you can make a case every single one of those lads. Liam Silk, who I think is currently abroad, isn't that right? John Daly, great year. Killian McDade, unbelievable. Jamie Comer, what a year he had. I suppose the disappointment for him is obviously last Sunday. But I think in five, Shane Walsh, obviously, I mean, what can you say? I mean, took the Dublin final by storm. It also is reflective, I think, of the teams that get to the latter stages. The team is nearly dominated by semi-finalists on, and it's nearly dominated by the two finalists, which is where it's at. All
the point here is that, yeah, like Shane Walsh, if he didn't produce the final he did, he wouldn't have got an All-Star.
Yeah.
And the fact that he produced one of the greatest final performances in recent memory,
yeah,
has him in for Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Whereas in truth, if this was done over the entire season as it should be, John Daly for me is a shoe-in for the, yeah, most likely candidate to put a bit of pressure on Clifford, who is going to be announced as Footballer of the Year. So,
yeah.
Anyway, five I think is pretty decent. Let's get the thoughts of Eddie Hoare. I mean, we were looking and hoping that Galway would get the five. We were pretty certain that John Daly, Killian McDade, most likely Shane Walsh, and most likely Liam Silk, but that somebody like Damien Comer might have been vulnerable because of the All-Ireland final, the way it worked out. But thankfully it hasn't, and all five have been rewarded, Eddie.
Yeah, five is a really good return. Like you said, probably four we would have expected. Five is brilliant. And those other times, maybe in 2018, where Ian Burke deservedly won an All-Star, Shane and Damien were in the running as well and lost out. So I'm really happy for Damien, for Shane, who like have been soldiering for so many years. The likes of Liam Silk as well, probably the best man marker in the country, and really, really worthy after the final performance. Sean O'Shea, one of the best footballers in the country, and he really marshalled them so well. But like for all five of them, it's a massive achievement. I think last All-Star was Ian Burke in 2018, and then I think Kevin Walsh in 2003. There's some serious players have gone through there, the likes of Michael Meehan kicking 10 points in an All-Ireland quarterfinal. How he didn't get an All-Star is still amazes me. But like, it's a really big accolade for any individual, and well done to all five players.
Yeah, it's the third most successful year in football ever after the two All-Ireland wins in 98 and 01. And I suppose, Sean, for clubs, you'd have to say you can understand why they're getting excited. We're getting lots of messages in from Anna Down. They're so proud of Damien. Corndrum National School, their first All-Star, their proudest punch since Tom Nocton.
Yeah.
You can understand Montpellier-My Loch in particular. I make it the first Galway father and son to have won All-Stars. Yeah. We know Liam O'Neill won an All-Star and his son Kevin won one with Mayo. But in terms of Galway, that's a first. So for Val Daly and for his son John, that's tremendous.
It is, and it's probably the biggest accolade a GAA player can get, other than winning the Celtic Cross in terms of a senior All-Ireland. An All-Star is so widely recognised. And as you say, it is a fantastic honour for the family, for the club, for the county. There's so many strands to it. Now, at the start, you talked about, you know, who could have made it, who could have made it. There's always been controversies over who could have got an All-Star, who may have got an All-Star. And Eddie, you're so right there, like, to think that Michael Meehan hasn't won. But it's so much based on the biggest day of the year and that final. And we know so many players that went into the final shoe-ons for All-Stars that maybe it didn't go that well, that suddenly are gone off the radar after one match. So it's not perfect in how it's selected, but boy, is it a fantastic honour, in fairness.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, as Ollie said, for schools, for clubs, for the individuals themselves, it's a massive accolade. The likes of Paul Conroy, Sean Kelly. Paul probably was, if we were to pick an All-Star team after the league, he would have been in it. And probably because he was so strong in the league, he was a marked man come championship. And to be fair to Killian McDade, he stood up and improved every day throughout the championship. Sean Kelly too probably sacrificed his own game in the final to mark David Clifford. And again, David Clifford, one of the best footballers in the country, and probably nailed on for Footballer of the Year, I would expect. But again, Sean Kelly going into the final might have p- potentially been in contention, but the final that Liam Silk had, Mark and Sean O'Shea, he went ahead. So again, it's like you said, very heavily weighted towards the final. Again, it has its pros and cons, but that's the way they do it. And for the five guys that have been selected, they'll be really, really happy.
Of course, the hurling team is going to be announced tomorrow night, Sean. What are we expected from Galway there?
Probably, if you're realistic, you would hope too. The fact that Galway had a decent year, but were beaten in the semi-final, you know, you're one step away again from...
But we're very close to Limerick.
We're very close to Limerick. You would say probably now Pádraig Mannion looks like he could get into the defence up front. And I know I've been campaigning for this. Conor Whelan, I think, has had a fantastic year. I think even more when you consider the role he was asked to play in a two-man full forward line, did an awful lot of hard work. But if you take a highlights reel of Whelan's scores this year, every single one of them, it was a brilliant score. Whether he can squeeze in or not, I think that's what you're looking at. But again, here I would expect Limerick to be very, very strongly represented. Kilkenny, the likes of Mikey Butler, Hugh Lawler, Adrian Mullen will have a chance. But look, it's... I attended an All-Star function about 8 or 9 years ago, and I remember there was a very controversial situation where we'll say Eddie Hoare didn't make the team and Ollie Turner made the team. And I will never forget a Kilkenny guy beside me that said, well, at the end of the day, who won the All-Ireland?
And that's the bottom line. And I think the fact that Kilkenny had such a strong final, you're probably looking at 12 of the 15 maybe coming from Limerick and Kilkenny. You probably are.
And that again is, and look at, if you want to go into how you select a team, but look at, don't we have it with our own weekly teams? If the three of us sat down today and watched a game, wouldn't we have a different opinion? So, you know, they're journalists that follow these things and put cases together, but ultimately, look at, when you get it, it's a fantastic personal accolade, and well done to the five lads, I think, is the bottom line.
Anyway, we're moving on to this weekend's action. Last weekend, we had Dunmore McHale's doing a climber on it and righting the wrongs of 12 months ago. So it does show you, Sean, that, you know, you can use motivation from something going pear-shaped 12 months ago to get back into success. Yes. And for those clubs, now they're getting ready for Connacht Championship, and that's only a couple of weeks away.
It is, and if you think, you know, we're obviously in the Halloween theme, and if you look here in the background, we see the skeleton here at the background.
That's the last Dunmore man to play senior football, who's tucked in behind us.
But a lot of teams are either taking the skeletons out or putting them back in or whatever. But it is, it's fantastic. Look at Dunmore. They did it at the heart, very similar, as we kept saying, to Climber. Didn't win the final in a, you know, a gloriously emphatic way either.
Yeah,
but finals are for winning. And now what that sets up, you know, and Eddie made the point last week about to get relegated and versus getting up. You could, it's so hard to get up to the next rank or the next tier above you. But for Dunmore to be in senior football, that's all they'll want. And look at the Connacht Championship is now in bonus. And thankfully, they have a bit of time. You know, often we've seen a team winning a county championship has a week to turn it around to get into the Connacht Provincial Championship. So at least they have a bit of time.
They'd want it. But one thing we do know is that whoever wins on Sunday, Eddie, in the county senior football final will have a Connacht Club Championship to play. Not like 2 years ago when Mike Cullen won it. And of course, because of COVID, there was no provincial championship, which was a kind of a strange decision at the time. Yeah. But nonetheless, that to me seems to be one of the big motivating factors, Eddie Hoare, that Mike Cullen feel that if they do win their second championship, there might be something even bigger for them if they can overcome Salt Hill.
Yeah, definitely. They won their first ever in their history 2 years ago. And given the circumstances, it was unfortunate for them that they couldn't go on and represent your county at provincial and All-Ireland level. So again, a big motivating factor for all teams. We said it last weekend with Clifton, with Dunmore, that they have opportunities now to represent their counties, and it'll be no different with Salt Hill or Mike Cullen, whoever progresses next Sunday. But always a really big motivation to go on and represent your county, and a really good opportunity. The All-Ireland Championship at senior level, I think, the winners of Connacht or indeed Galway will have a big say in who wins the Andy Murrigan come December, I think, this year.
Yeah, because of course the Mayo final is on Sunday as well, so the two winners will meet.
Eddie, put yourself now in the player position here. You're after winning a county semi-final last Sunday, right? We now are Thursday. You took a few knocks. You had the euphoria of winning. Then you have to get yourself down from that and you have to get yourself back up for the biggest day in the domestic calendar, the county final this Sunday. talk us through this week. There's not going to be a lot of training, but there's a trick here in getting this right, isn't there, for both managements?
Yeah, it's difficult. I know ourselves, when we were in a final in 14, we had played a replay and only had a week to prepare. And not to say that if we had more than a week, it would have been any different. But just it is a challenge. The only thing is, both teams are in a similar position. They have to dust down, get ready. It is a quick turnaround, but they would have been aware that both Mike Cullen and Salt Hill have fairly big squads at their disposal. They have lads coming back that will aid them. But it's important in terms of managing bodies and getting the, I'd say very little training will be done this week. It'll just be topping up, a little bit of sharpening, and more the mental side of things that'll play a big part.
Mike Cullen are favourites, and heavy favourites in the eyes of a lot of people. And one wonders, when you talk about the psychology and how you'd like to come into a final, how that might just suit Salt Hill Lough na Cara. There's no Currafane in the county final, so
it's an all West final.
You can't really say that, you know, that there's a very obvious way of picking this as being a guaranteed win. And as you say, Sean, it's an unusual situation whereby you have an all West final. That's only happened twice in 70 years in Galway club football. And yet you have two teams who haven't played in championship football meeting in the final, and one side way more favourites than the other. Can you rationalise why that is?
Yeah, on form, obviously Mike Cullen would have won the title 2 years ago, dethroned last year's champions in Mount Bellew. So I suppose from the bookmakers' perspective, that's why Mike Cullen would be seen as favourites, from my and from my opinion too. We saw in 2012 Salt Hill and came in, won the county title. That year again, Currafane and Tuam would have been considered the big two that matched off in the county semi-final. I think Tuam beat them. And Salt Hill came to Pier Stadium on a wet day and beat them. So it could be very, very, you just don't know. Like, county finals are funny in terms of, like, they can throw up very different circumstances. The mental side of it can be different, and sometimes form can go out the window. So Salt Hill will take a lot from that, from 10 years ago, going in again on Sunday.
The win in 20 for Mike Cullen, though, I mean, that has to be worth something to them, the fact that they went and won a championship for the first time ever. Since they came up, Sean, in 2016, remember they won that 2015 yes. All-Ireland Intermediate? They've been really, really close in an awful lot of championships up to that point. And bar Currafane being in it, they would have won it before then. So their stats, their scores for have been phenomenal in that time. Like, averaging 18 points a game in the last 38 championship games in football, where most of them are played at this time of year, is an extraordinary stat to have. So there's probably a bit of merit there as well. But Eddie, the question is, having been there and won it and been in a final, most of these Salt Hill lads won't have been around for the decade they've been waiting to win another one. Will that count for much for Mike Cullen on Sunday?
It certainly will. The pressure of winning that final, their first ever, was massive for Mike Cullen. And I know from being in the stadium 2 years ago when they won it, you could see the euphoria, the scenes. It was just really joyous scenes to witness. On Sunday, I'd expect they're going in there with one thing in mind, and that's to win the county final. They're not thinking of the occasion. They've been there, they've won it, and they'll be going in there to win it. On the other hand, for Salt Hill, a lot of younger players in their ranks, and they'll probably, some will have played a few years ago in a county final, others wouldn't, but a lot of them would have won minor A titles, they would have won under 20s last year. They won't be fazed by the occasion, and that's one thing about Salt Hill. They're a team that's used to playing in big games, be it through Fela, through under 16, through minor, right the way up through, so they won't be fazed. But that said, Mike Cullen, having won it 2 years ago, I think will take a lot from that. And in terms of their psyche going in, it'll be to do one thing, and that's to take home the Frank Fox and to look at pursuing a route through the Connacht Championship.
Let's have a look at both sides' last two championship games, Sean, because that's probably the best barometer we have. And have either side come into this final on an easier route than the other? Let's look at Salt Hill. Okay, so Tuam Stars in that quarter final, which they won by a point, 111 to 2-7, but a real proper battle. And I think a lot of people would feel Tuam were unlucky that day, but at the same time, Salt Hill have shown a bit of grit, haven't they?
Yeah. And we keep reiterating it throughout the podcast that this is the John O'Mahony factor. This is getting a team that has the undoubted talent, getting them over the line. And I know coming into the Tuam game, like a lot of pundits thought, particularly with the game in Tuam, that Tuam would take Salt and Knockincarra. But the fill-up they would get, the lift they would get in winning a tight game, set them up then to get into the semi-final, right? Again, you look at the semi-final and you'd say, looking in from the outside, that sure, Salt Hill would have picked Annadown ahead of the other two. But again, they dealt with the Annadown game. I suppose there was a big call near the end of the Annadown game was, you know, could there have been a penalty? But the thing I liked about Salt Hill was whether there was a penalty or not, they finished and closed the game out well. They ended up, you know, when you looked at the final score, there was a 6-point ball game. The flip side of that then, Eddie, for me, I was intrigued by Mike Cullen. They rested guys when they were through against Lettermore. They didn't play particularly well against Clare Galway. Were nearly caught at the end of that game. But was that a team absolutely aiming perfectly for the big collision in the semi-final against Montpellier?
Yeah, I'd say there was a certain element of that. They drew, I think, with Lettermore in the last round. Drew with them in the last round and afforded afforded the opportunity to rest some of their bigger names that would have played right throughout the championship. Against Clare Galway, again, they only won, I think, in the end by a point. Probably were more comfortable than a point, but albeit a point ball game, anything can happen, be it the last few plays. So they left it tight there. I'd expect Mike Cullen, a lot of their work this year would have been built towards dethroning Montbellew. And you could see last Sunday that the game plan was to perfection. They're very well versed in terms of, like, Dan Kennellan's there. They have Maurice Sheridan. They have a fairly strong backroom team in place. If you look at the programme, there's about 7 or 8 names there involved. And it looks like they had a lot of work put into countering and curtailing the Montbellew game plan. Because 2 years ago, yes, Mike Cullen came and Desi Keneally on the same day was outstanding. It was a really, like, an ambush by Mike Cullen, and they came and won it. Montbellew had their house in order last year, came back and were very worthy winners in that semi-final. And then this year, it looks like Mike Cullen did their homework and executed their plan to perfection. We said last week as well about Sean Kelly, how would he pair up? And he's such an important player to Mike Cullen that I thought they wouldn't use him to nullify someone. So in my view, they used him to his benefit, and he influenced the game. But when my Bellew were attacking, he matched off with John Daly to curtail his influence. So in also influencing Mike Cullen, he curtailed them. So did both, and it's something he can do because he has the energy to get up and down the pitch to curtail players, but also influence the game. But definitely, I would expect that Mike Cullen put a lot into that. But again, semi-final is no use to Mike Cullen. They'll be looking to win next Sunday, and they'll meet a stiff Salt Hill side in doing so.
What stock do you put in Mike Cullen's victory over Corrifin in the group stages? It was the third round, Eddie, and the celebrations that day seemed to suggest that this was a big psychological barrier that Mike Cullen have jumped, not having beaten Corrifin in that run in the championship, which included their county title. And how much confidence did they get from that win?
I would say they took lots from it. We played before them that day in Pier Stadium, and the scenes, like, it was a real statement victory. It was Corrifin are a powerhouse of football, not just in Galway, but Ireland. And while, okay, they may have been stronger a few years ago, Mike Cullen, it would have been one that they wanted to get off their backs in terms of beating Corrifin, and they did it. And Corrifin were excellent the first half, but Mike Cullen weathered it, got their goal, and were full value for the win. I think it was a statement win that really set them up and announced them back on the stage after probably a disappointing campaign last year, losing out to Montbellew.
It's some county final when you think of it. 9 current Galway panellists. Yeah. It could be 10 or 11 by the time the match is over, once Fáil Joyce gets to see some of them. Like, in terms of standard, Eddie, there can be no excuses. Like, you're talking about a serious number of high quality players on both sides.
Definitely, and they're at senior level, so many representatives there for Galway. And if you were to include under 20, under 17, I'd say most, if not all, of the players involved would have represented the county at some level. And that's what you want. You want the best players in the county playing on the biggest stage, and it's generally is good for Pádraig Joyce and his team to see his best players playing in the biggest stage. From Mike Collins' perspective, obviously they have the Kellys there, Desi Keneally, David Wynn would have played before, so a lot of serious talent there that would have represented the county. Obviously, Owen Gallagher came in this year as well. Then on Salt Hill side, Daniel O'Flaherty was on the fringes of the squad this year with Galway. You have Cathal Sweeney, who's been excellent throughout the club championship. And then the big two up front then in Robert Finnerty and Tom O'Callaghan, all performing. So it was really, really well for their clubs.
If you're to pick a winner, Eddie, I mean, I know you're saying Mike Cullen are justifiable favourites. Do you expect them to win it?
At the start of the year, I would have had Mike Cullen and Mount Belial as probably the big two. And I think we all would have. I would have always said, not just because they're in a final, I always felt there was potential in Salt Hill, Knocknacarra. I would have had them in the top four, maybe with Corrifin. Salt Hill have won the under-20s last year. Finian Hanley and Sean Armstrong were over that side. They've come in now this year with John O'Mahony. They're a serious side and full value for their final place. Whether it's maybe a year or two too soon for them, Sunday will tell. It's a massive opportunity for them to win a county final. They won't fear Mike Cullen. Salt Hill are a final team. They generally perform on the big stage. Sunday, if I was to pick a winner, I think I the bookies probably have it maybe going for Mike Cullen. And I think based on the last 2 or 3 years, I think Mike Cullen are further along in their development. They've won a title 2 years ago. They were beaten last year. We would consider them to be probably one of the top two. I'd be probably looking, I think that probably Mike Cullen might edge it. But that said, that's Salt Hill side under John O'Mahony. He's coming. I think there could be a county title in that side in the next 2 to 3 years. They're definitely building, have improved a lot this year and will take a lot irrespective of what happens Sunday. But when they do go out in between the white lines, they'll be going out to win a Frank Fox. But if I was to predict, I'd say Mike Cullen on Sunday.
If, however, Salt Hill do win it, and there'd be no big surprise, I think, if they do,
no,
Sean,
no.
What would it mean to this man, John O'Mahony, to come back and land a Galway County title,
yeah,
what, 21 years after winning an All-Ireland with Galway? I mean, that's just phenomenal.
It is, and even I was listening to a piece he did, was it two, about during COVID, I think it was on the radio station here, in terms of, it was a political piece that morphed into a Gaelic football piece, right? And the one thing about him is he's meticulous, he's a perfectionist, and you can see, I was even just watching the game the last day, like, you know, there's a clipboard, you know, he's fully tuned into what needs to be done. And that's what I'm saying, is that his record in winning and getting the team over the line is could be crucial here. Now, I'm not taking it, John Kinnellan has done a super job on his on what he's done with Mike Cullen as well, and as Eddie said, with the backroom team he has as well. But these big days, these are down to, you know, we're into weather conditions, we're into the goalkeeping, we're into the kickouts, we're into free take, and all of the basics. For years I always admired and wondered and looked at Kilkenny, they always talked about doing the basics right on the big day. The basics never change, no matter what day you have in it. So look, at we wish both teams the best of luck, and hopefully it'll be won by the best team, not a mistake or whatever like that.
Yeah, it should be a fantastic occasion. Eddie, we're looking forward to your company as well at the weekend. Thanks a million for chatting to us.
Thanks,
Eddie Hoare there. Looking forward to the county football final. Don't forget, it's 1:45, yeah, earlier than the original 2 o'clock.
The time changes now, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, quarter to two. So, yeah, I don't know what that
means.
Yeah,
whatever.
You get the extra hour in bed, yeah. So if it's...
don't miss it.
if it's quarter to two on your clock, you could be in there an hour early, but that won't be a bad thing on Sunday for the county final. A lot happening on Sunday because we've got Galway races as well in Ballybrit. That starts early at 12:40, so there'll be a fair bit of traffic in and around the outskirts of Galway in the run-up to that. And of course, during the afternoon then as well, Galway United and Longford will be filling Eamon DC Park for the 4 o'clock kickoff with the second leg of that promotion, a semi-final second leg with the match delicately poised at 2-2. So talk about sport on Sunday in Galway. And that's before we start talking about the hurling championship throughout Saturday and Sunday. So let's invite in Cyril Donlan, who's joining us from hurling country.
Good afternoon, lads.
He's a good memory, sir, isn't he?
Don't worry. It's great that there's two countries in Galway, football country and hurling country. But it's definitely hurling country now. And it's probably a pity in a way, Sean, that a couple of these games are going to be clashing on Sunday with the football final. Look, it's just, it is what it is given the time. But four quarterfinals, again, split up two and two. And the fact that they've been played as double headers, I'm straight away worried weather-wise about pitches being able to hold up.
And look, what we saw last weekend, the minor final had to be pulled. Look what you're into, and I think this year it's very unusual weather. It's mild, but we've had an awful amount of rain. And the one thing that players don't want in the ground is rain, because it changes the conditions. And even, sir, like in the last, a month ago, you know, we were doing games where the ball was still hopping around the place. But in the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's totally
different
changed.
Story, yeah.
And it is a factor, sir, isn't it, for the weekend, in terms of the hurling is going to be totally different here now?
Yeah, it's a huge factor. And I suppose it'll have a bigger effect on different teams. And we've seen Sarsfields have played a lovely brand of hurling all year, played in all the high quality games, both in under 20 and senior. And they have a young, youthful team, and you're wondering, are they able to adapt now to playing in more difficult conditions? We've seen Ballinasloe in the intermediate final had taken a lot of water on. It changes definitely, and I'm not an expert in football, I'm hardly an expert in hurling, but it changes the game of hurling an awful lot in regards what to do with the ball, whether you direct, whether you mind it, and that. Turlochmore play a running game similar to that. And just teams will have to be fully aware, are you laying out yourself to the best possible ability relevant to the conditions, and the conditions being the breeze as well.
Hmm. We start, I suppose, on Saturday, the two games in Kenny Park and Athenry. Clarenbridge against Tommy Larkins, which, incredibly, lads, is a repeat of last year's quarter-final. Clarenbridge got over the line and was at 117 to 112 last year. There's a kind of a feeling, though, that Larkins have been ticking along very nicely this year, sir, and probably will look at this as a great chance to kind of lay down a marker.
Yeah, and it's a game I'm looking forward to. I've seen Larkins play this year. I've seen Clarenbridge play numerous times. Tommy Larkins are playing a lovely brand of hurling. They'd have been very disappointed with their performance in that game last year's quarter-final and knocked them out of the championship. They might have been happy enough with the progress of the year to date. But to lose a quarter-final like that, they were very, very disappointed. They're playing a lovely brand of hurling this year. They seem to be well-drilled. They seem to be well-tuned in what's going on. And I expect that game, we've seen a lot of draws in the last few weeks. I expect that game to go down to the wire. Clarenbridge, last year's county champions, have been a small bit inconsistent. They've been clocking up big scores, but they've conceded big. And I suppose the big thing with them is TJ, the big move they have made is TJ Brennan has gone into the forward. He's having a huge influence on them going forward, but it's also having an effect on them at the back. And you're always learning, I suppose. I was listening to Eddie talking there about Sean O'Kelly, where he can both curtail and have an influence on the game. And I'd say the same thing for TJ Brennan. At different stages, could he more go back into midfield or go back into centre-back when he sees Clarenbridge are under pressure in order to have an influence or curtail a team that's having a run at them, and then having an influence going back up to centre-forward? And I think he'll have to be used in both positions. He's a key player to them, but they've conceded too much. They've conceded too much in the championship to date.
Yeah, I suppose looking at the figures, I mean, Clarenbridge have scored 8 goals, conceded 10. Larkins have scored 11 goals but conceded just 2. And if you have a defensive team now that can hold out goals in particular, it's a great advantage.
Yeah, and Larkins are kind of built a small bit defensive at the minute. That's not a negative impression on them. I think every management team or every trainer should be laying out their team accordingly relevant to what they think they have in their dressing room. And that's the way the approach Tommy Larkins are taking at the minute. They're playing it to a good brand in the sense that they know what they're at. They're very focused. They're very driven in what they're doing. And that's why I think they'll cause plenty of upset. Clarenbridge forward line is as strong as what you see out there. They're 6 forwards, very, very good, well able to be game winners themselves. And they have shown a great threat in the championship. But they'll be very disappointed they've lost to St. Thomas in the last group game. St. Thomas has looked like they were on the ropes. They were without David Burke, had gone off injured. Fintan Burke wasn't playing out injury. Shane Cooney was out of the country or just back. He wasn't tagged on the day. Like, that was three inter-county players out of their back eight, let's say, or their first eight, and they still found a way to win the game.
The other big factor, of course, is this time of year, with the ground being heavy, rook balls developed, more frees are awarded, and the free-taking statistically becomes far more important, Cyril, because the percentage of your scores ramps up dramatically coming from frees from this time of year. So is there an obvious advantage to either team there, especially with Evan Nyland doing the business for Clarenbridge so effectively all year?
No. Jason Flynn is a good sharpshooter as well. What you're seeing in that game is two evenly balanced free takers. If a free taker has an off day from now till the end of the championship, he'll have a huge effect on your club. Look, at most free takers are playing taking frees since they're very, very small for their age. They'll be able for the pressure. Should be able for the pressure on the bigger days. But an off day will send you out to the championship. It's important, Tyler, we're probably going to go on to the second game in Athenry, Sean. Mm. Everything that Ollie mentioned there in regards to rook ball and a slower game in congested areas, winning your primary puckhouse and free ticket. St. Thomas's in this area, for the last number of years, they're going for five in a row. They are ticking all them boxes. They are winning all them individual duels day in, day out. Like, there's eight teams left in the championship. I would imagine any team that knocks out St. Thomas out of the championship, every other team will be delighted. With their stock will rise in regards, they'll think they'll have a great chance. They're still the team to beat. But when they've won all these county titles, possibly in the month of November, and we're heading towards that next week, November is Monday or Tuesday of next week, they're able for this type of hurling. And Capitagal would probably haven't been fully sure where their year is going. If they get over Thomas's, it'll blow them wide open in regards they think they can feel they'll win a county championship. If they lose a quarter final, they'll be very disappointed, and they'll feel they've taken a step back. They've got to semi-finals for a number of years, and they'll see that they'll be possibly in decline. So it's a huge weekend for Capitagal in regards where they see themselves at. But if I was a Capitagal person, I'd be delighted with the draw, in the sense that if there is a time to get St. Thomas's, possibly with lads coming back from injuries, possibly with they're not fully happy with their form over the last month or two, it would be a time to meet them in a county quarter final. I think the longer they stay in the championship, the stronger they're going to get.
I think that's got to be the attitude as well, though, Sean. Like, you can't be hoping to avoid teams at this stage of the championship if you're going to try and win it.
This is knockout now. This is it, yeah. Now, the other thing we're hearing in the grapevine as well, I think Shane Cooney may have played a challenge game with Thomas last weekend. So if he's coming back into the picture as well, that's even strengthened them more. The other fact as well, sir, here is, and it applies to all the four games, Ali, four teams have had a month off by qualifying directly to the quarterfinal. Four teams have come through the preliminary quarterfinals. I can never get my head around, is it good to have a game or not in these circumstances, Cyril? I mean, the teams that didn't qualify straight were a bit deflated after the when they were put into the preliminary quarterfinals. But then once they got through them, they've had a lift, and they've had a game in difficult conditions in the last month.
Yeah, how do you manage the month? And I'd imagine someone would went to external for matches in order to try and fill a void. Some teams would have been happier to just like sort out their few little injuries. I don't think the pool in club in regards having 25 or 26 lads that can do a job. I'd say a lot of the clubs that are in it are really looking at 22, 23 for game day. They won't want the injury list to expand over these coming weeks. If you picked up a hamstring injury, now is a chance you'll miss the later stages of the championship. So it's the gamble of whether you play games and challenge games in order to try and keep fresh. Daylight hurling comes into it. It's hard to do anything on a Tuesday or a Wednesday evening down on your local pitch if the lights isn't of a high quality. So that's how the management have to deal with that over the last number of weeks. And it probably will have an effect on teams on Sunday.
Portumna back in the quarterfinals. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what we have expected that at the start of the championship.
And unbeaten in their five games to date.
But it's almost like the pressure of County taking off Joe. A new lease of life at club level. Are they in with any sort of a shout of beating Sarsfields?
I think they've done huge in progression this year and in getting up to Senior A. I think they'll be competitive to Senior A. It's a massive ask for them. They won that game against Loughrea, the previous game, the preliminary quarter final against Loughrea, in horrific conditions, really. But they know how to win contests and they know how to win tight games. They would have great tangles with Sarsfields over the last number of years. It's a huge ask for them, even with the way the years have gone for them, with the way they have won titles at under 20 A level this year and contested senior B. I think Sarsfields should have enough for this, but it's all about what I mentioned earlier on, is can they adapt? Can they adapt to the winter style hurling, as they say? I met Joe last Saturday while we were talking about him in golf style. He was trying to give me a few tips on equipment to buy to improve his golf game.
But well, for your style now, which I wonder.
My golf is struggling and my style is struggling, unfortunately.
Yeah. But, you have to put the socks back on now. This weather is cold. Go on, yeah.
But him being the competitor, like, for someone that won't be looking at this as a successful year, they'll want to go another step. They'll want to get to a county semi-final. They'll have it in the back of their mind. And they could have the potential to cause an upset, but Sarsfields are a club that have a lot of talent at the minute, a big talent pool, as big a talent pool as anyone has out there. And they should be able to see that contest off.
It is an early start, though, isn't it?
It is 12 o'clock. And like, even look at that. Kevin Coney has been shooting the lights out, lads. Is it 6-10 in the championship so far? Portumna, as I said, have played six games. This will be their seventh game. No goal conceded by Sarsfields in the last two games as well. I mean, Sarsfields will be disappointed, I think, if they don't get over the hurdle here, but it is set up for Portumna to have right cut of them.
Yeah, set for an ambush, it is. And like, what will Portumna bring? Like, they have the free taker and Joe Canning, but they haven't been over reliable. He got a very crucial goal just before half time, but they haven't been over reliable. Structurally, they're set out very well over the last number of weeks. They're managing the games very well, and I won't be surprised if there's an upset. But my expectation is Sarsfield should have enough to do it.
And then, of course, it's all about the clash that everyone is really looking forward to, Loughrea and Turlough. I mean, something has to give. Yeah. I mean, Loughrea, probably, have they been shown a little bit more even in terms of their performance level throughout the championship?
They have, and I think they've been tipped by all the local pundits to win the game, and it's based on an unbeaten group record where they were the first team to qualify for the knockout stages. You look at their backroom team, Gregory Kennedy, Gavin Keary, Shane Cusick, Tommy Kelly, you know, Nigel Murray. It's a serious outfit. They have unfinished business. They reached the semi in 2020, where they played Turlough Moore, actually. They would have been very disappointed. Do you remember the game that were knocked out in last year in that COVID championship where, was it, Sarsfields knew they could lose the game by 4 points in the last group game, and Loughrea kept at them and got them at the end. Then Loughrea would have been disappointed with the way last year ended in a quarter-final or a preliminary quarter-final defeat to Clarenbridge. But defensively, we've been talking about defences. They have the best defensive record standing in the championship now. Probably not surprising given the management team they have either and the way they're set up. But it's, I mean, they won the league. I was very impressed with the games they're playing, like Joseph Mooney, Martin McManus are playing a two inside. Jamie Ryan is floating in a deeper role. So you can see where this is coming from. On the flip side, Turk probably being a bit inconsistent in the terms that they went out, beat Castlegar, lost to Clarenbridge, bounced back, had a kind of an eye-watering display against St. Thomas's, and then lost to Sarsfields. But I think the games they've lost, sir, maybe might have been some of their own doing as well. I mean, they shot 18 wides against Sarsfields. If they can rectify that, I think they shot 16 against Climber Daly as well. So this is a game that, you know, everyone is saying is going to go to the wire. It looks that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I suppose Loughrea got to a semi-final 2 years ago, and they were probably in the most youthful side out of the four teams that got the semi-final that time. They're two more years down the road. They'd have been disappointed that they'd been knocked out of last year's championship. It was a wet day in Athenry, if memory serves me right. The euphoria of getting over the previous round might have been hung over with them, with beating Sarsfields and putting them out of the championship. But they've been very consistent in the league as well, Sean. They've been building up slowly. They have a professional approach. You can see by their backroom team and the amount you've named there, but all with a lot of with inter-county experience at both inside and outside Galway. We know a good few of them were involved in Dublin as well. And they have an awful lot to offer. and they should be able to manage critical situations. That's my kind of big question. Are they experienced enough now to manage critical situations, let's say after half time into the second half, you know, a free or two going against them, and a charge maybe coming from the likes of Turlough Moore? Are they able to deal with that? Have they the experience from the last few years in the club championship to deal with that? But if any team that will get through that, either Lacroix or Turlough Moore, would feel that have a good right good crack at a county championship. They feel they would have the learnings. Turlough Moore would feel that, oh right, we're a small bit more consistent now. We've got huge learnings from the early group games, and we're in a position now to really challenge for something. So it's probably the out of the four games I'm most looking forward to is the last one on Sunday as well, last one of the weekend. So that'll be a cracker in Ballinasloe.
It sure will. And I think the beauty of this as well, Sean, is you have different styles there as well. And you've also got a kind of completely different ethos as well. I think you know what you're going to get every day Lacroix go out. And it's been that way as long as I can remember them, back to when Kennedy was playing and all those lads back in the mid-noughties. So I think you're almost guaranteed what Lacroix will bring. The question here is, what can Turlough Moore bring, or what Turlough will turn up?
Yeah.
And I think that's why there'll be such a big crowd there as well. Sir, if you had to, the last four standing for the draw on Sunday evening, which will be after that Lacroix Turlough game, by the way, who do you expect to be in the hat?
Nice, so easy say, question now with that one.
We'll say Thomas's Sarsfields. I'd imagine Larkin. I'm not a betting man, but I'd imagine Larkin's are the underdogs going into the Clarence Bridge game, so I'm picking an underdog there. And I'm picking a draw in the last one. I don't think there'll be a weekend without a draw, Ali. So I'm going with a draw there.
And it'll be finished on the day, by the way. And just for to let our listeners and viewers know, it'll finish on the day. So it'll be extra time and the dreaded penalties. Good there. God.
I couldn't pick the last one. I think I'm good. You're trying to throw me under the bus here, but I'm I'm picking three of the four, so I'm not going too bad.
In fairness to him, he'd be shot anyway.
That's what I'm saying. This is the whole point. We're building up to get Donald under that bus and he's dodged it again.
But I think in fairness as well, it just shows you the strength of the Galway Club Championship. We talked about a very good football championship, but like you were looking at the eight teams that are left here and one or two of them outside. Like, sir, if either team won the respective four, you wouldn't be surprised.
You wouldn't be completely shocked with any set of results.
No. And I think the quality will go up. Is Thomas is the first game on Saturday, is it?
No, Clarence Bridge is the first game on Saturday.
If Thomas is were bet at any stage of the championship, I'd say the other teams would really feel they'd have a good cracker. I think the intensity would go up straight away. They're going for five in a row. They've been unbelievable.
They're the team for years.
Mm-hmm. And they're a joy to watch, really, the way they're able to manage things. They're able to take hits. Like they got huge setbacks there in the Clarence Bridge game. Looked like they were dead and buried. They were, was it 10 points down, Sean?
10 points down, early in the second half, last Davis, last John Hayes, had no Finton.
Yeah. And to come back from that and win the game. What's the score? 4-5-20, was it?
4-20 to 4-17, wasn't it? Even 4-17, you'd be expecting to win your most games. There'll have to be a kick from Clarence Bridge as well. We saw a bit of it in the preliminary quarter-final, but look, there's so much intrigue in here. We could talk all night.
I think one thing we can probably predict safely is that the pitches are going to cut up and playing in the second matches in these double headers.
Yeah.
Will create a different sort of match to the first ones. It's as simple as that. So don't be expecting
Thomas expecting the dust to be flying.
to be at the absolute. They're going to have to win a different way, maybe, and they've proven that they can. Cyril, we've loads more to talk about. So, Sean, it's 2 weeks' time then for the semis.
One week, the semis. So, basically, if you're a manager here and you can't do it, you're managing two of your biggest games in the space of the week, effectively. The four winners that we'll have the draws directly, you said, after the Lacroix Turlough Moore game, and then the semi-finals are the following week, and then there's a break for 2 weeks to the finals. So the finals are on for November 20th.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lots to look forward to. Yeah. Well, we're as you say, kicking into November Over the Line podcast from next week. But for now, Cyril, thanks a million. We're looking forward because Cyril is going to be on commentary duty on Saturday with Niall and Sean at the double header there. And Cyril Farrell then is going to join us on Sunday for the second set of matches. So Kenny Park and Duggan Park, the two venues at the weekend for the four senior hurling championship quarterfinals. And we'll be back to discuss the ins and outs of those next week, as well as what happened in the Galway senior football final. But for now though, thanks for watching.
Over the Line Extra, your weekly Galway GAA podcast with Ollie Turner and Sean Walsh in association with Seymour's Loughrea.